All right, good to see all of you this morning. We'll begin reading here in just a few moments in Ephesians chapter 5. I'd like to start with verse 15, and we'll read through verse 21 to begin with, and then, of course, I'll highlight some more points that we're going to be studying in the coming weeks. Let's start now. This all started with the new year. You guys know I love New Year's. I love to look back because I'm not one of those guys that keeps beating myself up over stuff that I didn't do last year. I always get up and say, well, that's water that's gone over the dam, under the bridge, you know, whatever you want to call it. I can't do anything about that, but I can change what's still coming. And so we don't have any control over last year's time. It's done. And so I love the fact that I can stop and analyze and try to see where I've done good and pat myself on the back and keep doing those things, and where I've done bad and just stumbled a bit, I've tried to make changes so that we can do that. And that's really why I love this part of the year, so that we can always focus. Because usually what you aim at, you hit it every time. And so with our walk of faith, it's not a 100-yard dash. We want it to be in our flesh. We want to get saved, and we're going to heaven. I'm good. I'm just going to live my life. Everything gets better. It doesn't happen that way. Unless he takes you home right away, okay? Unless you're the thief on the cross on the right or left-hand side that said today, hey, remember me when you get to the kingdom. And he said, well, today you'll be with me in paradise. That hadn't happened to us, has it? So we have a journey called life, and God wants us to engage it to its fullest. He's created it for us. So part of what this is just us learning to engage it and reconnecting and make whatever changes we have to make. So just stay with me in verse 15, Ephesians 5, and notice what Paul said to these Ephesian believers. He said, look carefully then how you walk. We would say today, look carefully how you live your life. Look carefully how you live. Not as unwise, but as wise. So when you read that, immediately you understand that you can live your life either with wisdom and or with a lack of wisdom. You can do wise, or what I often say, or you can do stupid. It's not illegal to do stupid. How many of you realize that? Now, I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand if you've done stupid, but that's why we called the men's class the knuckleheads, and I'm part of the one that started that, and the reason is because the chief knucklehead stands here every Sunday morning. Only by God's grace am I here. Only by God's grace is Woody Lamb here today leading that group of men. You know, it's just God's grace. So he says, be wise, making the best use of your time, because the days are evil. Use your time wisely, because the days themselves will consume your minutes. We know about them minutes on cell phones, don't they? Therefore, do not be foolish, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And he begins to lay it out. And here it is. And do not get drunk with wine, for that is debauchery or excess. Older versions say means recklessness. But be filled with the Spirit, addressing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in the Lord, to the Lord with your heart, giving thanks always and for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another out of reverence for Christ. Let's pray together. Father, thank you this morning for the privilege we have to gather together in a free country, in broad daylight, in a church clearly marked with a cross on the top, to sing vocally your praise, to bow and pray and seek your face, to open up a copy of the Word of God without fear of arrest or reprisal, without fear of being shot today. And I pray, God, that the Church of Jesus Christ today, right here, this one right here, and then every other one that's on the block or on the street or in the community or in this country, I pray the power of your Holy Spirit will move upon us, and that we will see a heaven-sent, Holy Spirit-fueled revival take place in the midst of the Church of Jesus Christ. America must come back to you, Father, or there is no hope. We thank you this morning that we are not without hope. No matter what happens here, we're your children. You will provide, we will prevail, even if we leave this world in death. We have prevailed. To be absent from the body is to be present with you. Wow. What a day that's going to be, Lord. Now, as we seek to study this treasure chest, or dig through this treasure chest called your Word, May your Holy Spirit open our sin-scarred, sin-blinded, sin-distorted eyes. May we see clearly. May we hear clearly. May we understand what you are teaching us, that truth is truth. It's not, well, this is what it means to me. It's actually, this is what it says. And we are to line ourselves up with your word. Continue to open our eyes and help us to engage this life you have given, so much so that we can understand the promise of John 10:10, that Jesus has come that we might know life and have it more abundantly. Praise you this morning for the abundant life we have right now in Jesus Christ. Bless you, Lord. We are overcomers. In Jesus' name, amen. As we've studied in recent weeks, over the last couple of weeks, we've laid out what we're going to study as we make our way from verse 15 of chapter 5 all the way through to chapter 6, verse 9. And in that, we're seeing the whole Spirit-filled journey. Understand this, again, the first three chapters of Ephesians, largely theological. They are the beautiful, wonderful truths of what God has done, who He is, what His plan is, how He's worked it out through His Son, Jesus Christ, how we have encountered it. And then when He came to chapter 4, 5, and 6, He said, now here's the shoe leather stuff. This is the practical stuff. This is the stuff you want to get through and get to, because this is how I want you to flesh it out. And so when we get to this, we see here he says right off the bat, a couple of weeks ago we saw this, that he laid out a plan not just for us as individuals, but and we'll study through that today and then one more portion of it next week, God willing. But these are such powerful events of the work of the Spirit of God in us, that it's not only going to affect us, but it's going to affect every human relationship we have. It will affect the relationship between a wife to her husband. We see that. We'll see that in a few weeks from chapter 5, verse 22 through 24. We'll also see husbands toward their wives, 25 through 33 of chapter 5. We'll see the home, how it permeates a home. It affects the children and their relationship with the parents, both young and old children. And certainly we understand that today, those of us who have older parents, those of you that do. Certainly we see the children, your responsibility to your parents, verses 1 through 3, chapter 6, verse 4. It's the parents' responsibility to their children. Chapter 6, verse 5 through 8 is actually that which is in the marketplace, where we work, where we live. And that certainly is the employee's responsibility. Then the employer's is in chapter 6, verse 9. And we'll cover all of that. It permeates all of our relationships. A very powerful teaching. It's wonderful as you get a handle on it, because it really helps you to see that God's at work in and through all of us at any given moment, all the time. And so certainly we're going to start here this morning, and I want you to see this, because what we've already studied in verse 18, that there were two commands. First one is do not be drunk with wine, which is recklessness, debauchery. First, these two commands are found in verse 18. The first one is do not, okay? Do not be under the control of, do not be under the influence of alcohol, of that which would cause your mind to lower its defenses and not to think correctly. Do not be, and certainly in their time, they understood, because if you'll remember, I told you that they, when they engaged their false gods, they usually had alcohol and sex and other things involved. It's really just an open forum for Satan to have his way. We could even carry that a step further today. Don't be looking to fill your mind and your life with all the things, the external things of the world, thinking that somehow they're going to let those things control you, because they will destroy you. But what the command moves from the negative to the positive, and he says, don't be drunk with these things, don't be under the influence or control of these, but be ye filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, certainly we talked about that. There are those who they say, oh, that's a feeling, it's a goosebump. You know, you've got to ask for it. Let me just say this. Jesus would never command us to do something that we would have to ask him for. Think that through for a moment. This is a command to you and I to be under the influence of, under the control of the Holy Spirit. That's what the Scripture's teaching here. Well, this is what I think. I don't care what you think. This is what the Bible says. I thought about that this week, because if I brought out a ruler and we passed around, everybody got a 12-inch ruler. Now, what if we all had a 12-inch ruler and some of us said, well, I think this is 11 inches, and I think this is 13 inches. What are we going to have when we come together and try to compare this? what you're going to have is people who have got all these opinions, but you know which one's right? Who's right? Yeah, the ruler's right, because the ruler doesn't change. If it's been set by the standard, the ruler's the standard. We're not. And if you understand what's going on in our culture and our world today, we live in a society that says, well, that's not what I want. It's not what I think. Well, you want to see that same attitude, go back to Genesis, early portions of Genesis chapter 6, and see what it was like just before the Lord destroyed the world. Every man did what that which was right. Anybody remember what the rest of it is? Well, I think, and I think, and I think. Dangerous thing to say. How about this is what God's Word says? So when it talks about being filled with the Spirit, He doesn't say anywhere in Scripture ever to ask to be filled with the Spirit. What He commands is to be filled with the Spirit. And what we saw is in Colossians chapter 3 and verse 16, He told us to let the Word of Christ dwell in us richly. And the same fruit of letting the Word of Christ dwell in us richly is the fruit that we see when we're filled with the Spirit, under the control of the Spirit. And that word control, we talked about that. It's not a filling of a glass, but it's the filling of a sail so that a sail would blow up and be moved along its journey by the power of the wind. That's being filled with the Spirit. Being so permeated with the Word of God. Okay? And we saw that last week in Galatians 5:16. He says, walk in the Spirit and you'll not fulfill the what? Lust or desires of the flesh. Guess what? When we're permeated with the Word of God, we're filled with the Spirit of God. When we're filled with the Spirit of God, we are permeated with the Word of God. When those two things are controlling us, guess what we won't do? You won't be telling people a piece of your mind. I just gave them a piece of my mind. You'll find that fights at home let up a little bit. You'll find that children obey their parents. You'll find that parents will not be hypocritical and say, they'll never say, don't do as I do as I say do. What the parents will do is they will lead the way. They won't create frustration with their children. Ah, here's a novel idea. At work, you'll have employees that say, what else do you need me to do, boss? And you'll have employers that say, you know what, I really appreciate the job you're doing. Come on, let's go do this together. Let me help you get this done. Man, it's an amazing thing, this Spirit-filled walk. It permeates every area of society. So we saw that, and God's Word was very, very, very clear about that. And I'll say this as we wrapped up that portion. If you remember, we are told to surrender, and this is what it means. When we're filled with the Spirit of God, it means simply this. Surrender your will, your intelligence, your intellect, your body, your time, your talent, your treasure, everything to Him. That's why in Galatians 5:17, I believe it is, He says the flesh wars against the Spirit and the Spirit against the flesh. They are contrary. Y'all, that's an old word. What does contrary mean? Anybody got a brother or sister that's contrary? What does that mean? They're always pulling the other way. Well, I want to go do this. Well, no, I want to go do that. You know, we understand that. In fact, I married one like that. She's contrary. I'm contrary. She says, you always want to do this. We go to the restaurant. I'm going, let's see, what haven't I tried here? There's one. I can't even pronounce it, but I'll try that. And I go, what are you going to get? She says, same thing I got the last 43,000 times we came here. Now, here's the funny, because Tina Riedling, just like it, she's just like it. They go to Hardee's or wherever. They've seen the menu 1,000 times. And here they are. Am I right, Donna? And then they order the same thing they ordered last time. God bless them. That's contrary. It just means sometimes they pull in different directions. Sometimes that's really good. I needed a contrary woman in my life. I needed somebody that would say, no, I want to do this. Let's go to church. You know, that's how I got back right with God. And she said, no, I'm going to go do that. We're going to go to the house of the Lord. Ooh, like this. This young woman wanted to be around God's people. She wanted to be in youth meetings. She wanted to study God's Word. Wanted to memorize Scripture. Wanted to give her testimony. I'm going, I've never dated somebody like that. She's contrary to what I've been used to. Guess what? God used that. Now, that's times when it's good. There's times when it's also bad, when it's contrary to the Word or the will of God, the Word and the will of God. The flesh is pulling this way, and the spirit's saying, no, we're going this way. There's a battle that's ensuing, a conflict. Bang, 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 daily, moment by moment. Well, I thought I was saved. You are. Welcome to it. That's the way we live. That's the battle. That's why he said in Romans 12, 1 and 2, come and present yourself a living sacrifice. Galatians 2, 20, I am crucified with Christ. Over and over and over again, he says, I die daily. What he's talking about. We have to come, and that's why it's so important. I've been talking to you about it, encouraging you. Read the Word every day. Get in it. Let it get in you. Let it permeate your mind. Let it permeate your mouth. Let it permeate your thinking. Let it permeate your actions. Let it permeate your giving. Guess what? Because if you don't, your flesh will take control. And the wages of sin is always death, even if you're a believer. The only difference is they won't take you to hell. A believer will take you home early. I believe that's what happened with my brother at 19. I believe God kept calling, 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 and he wouldn't come back. The Lord says, well, you're not going to listen. I'll take you home. Not a problem. Kind of like grabbed Shayla last night. She was pitching her little fit, having her little time at the house. We got them until today. Tammy's taking them home today, but she's having her little meltdown. And I said, oh, no, 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 no. I'm putting you in a chair. She wasn't thrilled about that. I don't care. It ain't about making her happy. It's about correcting that contrary attitude that says I'm going to rebel against the authority structure that God has given and in the home, and it's the parents. And AKA, when mom and dad ain't there, guess who else it is? Grandparents. I'll say this. If you ever expect me to watch your kids, I'm going to treat them like they were mine. If you're not going to let me do that, then keep them. There is a structure that God has given. The Word of God, we must have it in our lives. It is the light, lamp unto our feet, a light to our path. So you remember that. When we surrender, guess what? He fills, guys. Then last week we saw in verse 19, I loved it. It was a beautiful passage. In fact, we celebrated some of that just this morning. Addressing one another, psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody to the Lord with your heart. There's three major fruits that we see happen to the individual believer when the Spirit of God fills and permeates and thus controls the believer's life. The first one is inward. Pardon me. Inward. Inward. And what that inward is that God, through the power of the Holy Spirit, when we are filled with Him, He places within our heart a song. And we studied those words last week for the songs. And some of them are hymns and accompanied by music or by instruments, and some of them are maybe just acoustical, and some are just songs of accolades that worship and celebrate the person of God Himself and who He is and all He's done. Some are the work of Jesus Christ, and some are just testimony songs. We saw that last week. God places within our hearts a desire to sing, and we studied through that about joy. Joy should permeate the life of those who are God's children. And I hope you spent some time this week saying, you know, man, am I joyful? Is my heart filled with joy? Do I wake up in the morning with songs of Zion, songs of joy, songs of praise or adoration on my heart or on my mind? Or throughout the day, do I see myself singing, celebrating? That should permeate the life of the believer, no matter how busy we get. But then as we finished up last week, I want to pick up with the second one. That was the inward. Now we're going to go upward. And I want you to see this in verse 20. The second fruit of the filling of the Spirit of God, giving thanks always and for everything to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ. Giving thanks. The second thing that we see is an upward change called thankfulness. I want to take a few moments and let's just think through thankfulness for a moment. Thankfulness. When our hearts have been touched by God's grace, when we have been touched by the wonder of His love, I'll tell you guys, when we are permeated with His Word and His Spirit, you know what we find? That we have hearts that give Him thanks. Think about your heart today. Think about your life today. Am I thankful? Let me just show you a couple places. Turn over for just a second to 2 Timothy, please. 2 Timothy. I'm going to show you why this is so important. 2 Timothy chapter 3. Those of you that know this passage, you know where I'm going. 2 Timothy chapter 3. We're going to begin reading in verse 1 because this is critical. You must understand this. Thanksgiving, thankfulness comes from a heart that's been changed. Notice what he says in 2 Timothy 3. Now, when I read this, you're going to see our culture. Just if you want to, close your eyes and just listen to what I'm reading and tell me if this is not the culture that we see that permeates our world today. 2 Timothy 3, but understand this, that in the last days there will come times of difficulty. For people will be lovers of self, lovers of money, proud, arrogant, abusive, disobedient to their parents, ungrateful. Anybody have a different word there? Pardon? Unthankful, that's correct. Ungrateful, unthankful, unholy, heartless, unappeasable, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not loving good, treacherous, reckless, swollen with conceit, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having the appearance of godliness. But notice this, but denying its power. Now, let me help y'all understand something. How serious is this to our God? Is this letter that's written to Timothy, was Timothy, he was a pastor, so who was Timothy supposed to share this letter with? Who do you think? Church, that's correct, the church. He wasn't supposed to just fold it up, put it in his pocket and carry it around. I got me a letter from the Lord. He's supposed to share these truths. I want you to, I've underlined a couple of passages. First of all, I underlined ungrateful, then I underlined, but denying its power. But then one more thing. What does he say the next three words in your Bible? Speak up. Yeah, avoid such people. Wow. So if you're unthankful, if you have these things that permeate your life and you wonder why God's people don't want to hang around you anymore, don't blame it on them. It's your fault. What he's simply saying is those that reflect an attitude of carnality or of the flesh, it is normal and natural for God's people to turn away because they've been told to turn away. They've been told, you don't want to spend a lot of time with people with this kind of attitude. Wonder why they said that. Yeah, why is that? Y'all remember some passages, teaches in Corinthians, a little leaven what? Leaven's the whole lump. One bad apple, all the other good ones make it better, right? No, sadly. And that's why parents, let me say this, it is important. If your kids are befriending people who are choosing to live a fleshly, ungodly, carnal lifestyle, you know what? If they're not strong, then you need to pull them out. Okay? You need to pull them out, and you need to be watching them if they're spending time with anybody like that, because if you start to see these types of attitudes and actions manifest themselves, you need to deal with that. Because if not, what will happen is it will permeate you. It will permeate you as parents if you do the same thing. Understand this. What we see right here is that flesh-controlled, flesh-dominated hearts are hearts that are unthankful. They're hearts that are ungrateful. There are hearts that are self-selfish and self-centered and self-righteous. If you read that whole passage, matter of fact, they'll even despise that which is good. They'll mock Christians. They'll mock those that walk with the Lord. They'll mock those that choose to live in purity. They'll mock those that want to memorize Scripture. They'll mock those that come to church. Why is that? Because they're carnal. Let me say this. I don't say this bragging. I'm not proud of this at all, but this is reality. That was me before Jesus saved my old wretched soul. I was that person. That's why I'm telling you now, I fight for the purity of kids. I'll fight for your children's purity, even if you won't. I'll challenge your young people to walk with God. I expect it. I expect it of you guys. You better expect it of me. Why is that? Because I'm telling you, if we're left to ourselves, guess where we go? We go to the flesh. That's why it's imperative that we understand that one of the character fruits of the Spirit of God, when He's permeating us, when the Word of God permeates us, is we are a people who give thanks. Wow. In fact, I saw this week. It blessed the socks off of me. You can turn back to Ephesians. I'm going to turn over to Psalm 145. Just listen to this. Yeah, I loved it. I was like, wow, there it is, Lord. Pardon me. Psalm 145. I'd like to read to you verse 10. Listen to what the psalmist says. All your works shall give thanks to you, O Lord. And all your saints shall bless you. Let me just say this. Tag that with Ephesians 5:20. And you know what you've just seen? All that God works, guess what happens? When God works in us, it turns us to Him in adoration. It turns us to Him in celebration. It turns us to Him in, as we'll see next week, surrender and submission. When God the Holy Spirit's at work, guess what happens? We can't help but turn and give Him praise. We can't help but celebrate. Incredible, wondrous work of God. Now, back in Ephesians chapter 5, very quickly. To understand this, I'll say this. All of His works will give Him thanks. All that are His works. That's why when we read 2 Timothy, those that are His works won't give Him thanks, will they? Big surprise is the world doesn't give Him thanks. They don't even believe in Him. We've been studying Daniel 9. We made our way to Matthew 24 and 25 on Thursday. Then last week we got into Revelation 6, working our way to chapter 18, a quick overview, just so we can see what it's going to be like as Daniel was doing the prophecies of Daniel 9, 24 through 27. And one of the things that we saw during that tribulation period, we're seeing that permeates the Gentile world kingdom is an attitude. It's an attitude of arrogance, an attitude of anger. And even though there'll be a great multitude saved during that time, there is still a great multitude that will not, that have turned their back on God. Matter of fact, they defiantly shake their fist in His face. It reminded me of, any of you, I've mentioned this before, I think, remember the concert folks from Hollywood put on up in New York City after in the aftermath of Sandy. I don't know if you heard the songs that they sang, but they were in defiance. Sandy, that's the best you got. We defy you. We're going to stand in. What they fail to realize is that they're not standing against Sandy. They're standing against a holy God that will one day judge their unrighteousness before Him. And I promise you this, whether you can believe it or not, doesn't matter, it's true. Every knee will bow, and every tongue will one day confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. One day. One day. That's a whole nother message. Psalm 145, 10, we saw it. All His works give thanks. Psalm 118, 1, why? Because of who He is. Because I tell you, Scripture is clear. In that passage, it talks about God is good. In fact, guys, I've walked through the valley of death. I've still been able to give Him thanks. Why is that? Because God is good. Many of you have walked through the valley of the shadow of death without fear. Not saying you're always happy. I hate death. Told you before, don't you ever walk up to my casket and say, don't he look natural. It ain't happening. Death is not natural. Death is as a result of the fall. Because of sin we have death. Because of sin we go through that. It's a continual reminder of the sin, the travesty, and the tragedy of sin. The reality of it is God is good all the time. All the time, God is good. That's why we can thank Him. We can trust His heart, especially when we don't understand. Give Him thanks. 2 Corinthians 9:15. We also need to give Him thanks because of His gift in Christ. You've been saved here this morning? You didn't deserve it. You deserve to be behind me in hell. I got the front row seat. Thought I was going to be there. Seriously. Didn't know I was going to make it past 19. My brother didn't. I was following in his footsteps. 'Twas but for the grace of God. Amazing, isn't it? We can be thankful because of His gift for us in Jesus Christ. You deserved hell. He loved you so much He sent His only Son to die in your place, to pay your sin debt. That through simple faith, not one single work of yours, just receive the gift. Guess what? You can know Him as Savior, have your sins forgiven, the debt removed, and guess what? He plants within you the Spirit of God, and you know all of a sudden love and joy and peace and gentleness and all the fruits, the character fruits of the Spirit of God begin to permeate this vessel. Wow. Wow. Well, because of how great you are? No. Because of how good He is and the great mercies we have through Jesus Christ. And then, of course, right here in Ephesians 5, I love this. Giving thanks. How frequently? Always. Can I be honest? I guess the Lord's listening, right? I struggle with that one sometimes. There are times in my life that things have happened and difficulties have come. Many times that I wasn't expecting. And I've struggled with that, always giving thanks. In fact, he even goes on a little further and he says, for everything. Ooh, tough. Think about it for just a second. Those who are his, give thanks. Those who are not are unthankful. When we're under his control, when we're walking in obedience to his word, you know what we'll find? We'll be able to give thanks. We'll be thankful. We won't be focused on selfish gain. We won't be focused on what we don't have or didn't get. We won't be focused on this, that, or the other. We'll be focused on him. Amazing how when we focus upward, the things outward seems to kind of get settled out. You ever walked in a situation in a family or a friend or at work, and there's been chaos and people frantic and panicking and weeping and crying, kind of reminded me of the Old Testament mourning and screaming that they used to have at death. What did Jesus always do? I loved it. Oftentimes when he walked into a place where there was tragedy or death and people were mourning, and oftentimes they even paid mourners then just to come and cry. There'd be some good folks to do that, you know. So they would come do that. Jesus would come in and he'd open the door and say, y'all get out. He'd shut the door and it would get quiet. You know, he does that, what he did in the New Testament, in those Gospels, you know what he does in your heart today? When you quit letting the mourners stir you up and the circumstance stir you up and you just focus on him, guess what? You'll be able to give him thanks. You say, it's hard to do. Yeah, it is. But the beauty of what the Lord has called us to do is that we are to give thanks. I love what he says, giving thanks always and for everything. Think about that for a moment. All circumstances. In fact, 1 Thessalonians 5:18 in the ESV says it that way. Give thanks in all circumstances. That pretty well covers it for me. Let me just ask you this. The first thing we saw is an inward change of joy. But now, the filling of the Spirit of God, being under control of the Word of God, brings to us an upward change. Lord, I thank you. I've been challenged in our Bible study on Thursday mornings. We're not going to ask God for anything. It's hard to do because we are so prone to ask. But you know what you'll find? He already knows what we need of. How many of you believe that? Does God already know what you have need of? How many of you believe that God's into tomorrow? Stuff he ain't even told you about yet, or me, okay? He's already there taking care of that business. So what and whom should we just focus on? That's what happens when we are filled with his word. In fact, I was reading, I bounce back and forth, but it's just my reading of the scriptures. I've been in the New Testament. I bounced over to the Old last week, and I read through 1st, 2nd Chronicles, working through that, and just saturating my mind. It's neat to see how many of those chose to walk in evil, even when they knew the judgment of God was coming. But man, when you come across one of those judges, one of those kings that decided they would follow the Lord, I kind of got excited. I was like, oh man, praise God, finally somebody's going to walk in truth and holiness. And you know, when you see that, you see the blessing of the Lord come. And even Josh, as he shared with us on Wednesday night, Wednesday nights, thank you, one of the nights of the week, I'm not sure which one it is. But Wednesday nights, we're having our share and prayer time together. This week, Word of Life is going to be. I encourage all of you to come back and hear this brother share with us the ministry of the Word of Life. I encourage all you parents with small and large kids, be here. Your children need to hear and need to be challenged and be thinking about things beyond themselves and what they want. So I encourage, have done that for as many years I've been in ministry. So I encourage all of you folks to be here Wednesday night for that. One of the things that we know, Josh said it the other week, he said, you know, guys, God blesses his children. Now, contrary to what we hear on some of the televangelists, God does not want all of you wearing $1,000 suits. In fact, all mine piled together wouldn't equal $1,000. Okay? I'm game with it. If you can afford one, have at it. I choose to do different things with mine. Okay? But the reality of it is God's blessing upon his people in the New Testament is inside. In the Old Testament, it was largely outside. It was land and sheep and all types of animals, and certainly the blessing of family, and certainly the blessing of family is that today. But God's blessing in the new covenant is inward. It's inward. He gives us joy. He will make us thankful. I love being around thankful people. Do you know somebody in your life that's just thankful? Man, you get around them and they're just encouragers. But they don't even know they're encouraging. They're just someone say, you know, I want to bless the Lord. The Lord blessed, and I'm so thankful that I've had this, and he's done this, and he's I've seen this, I've studied this in the scripture. And they just share Thanksgiving after Thanksgiving after Thanksgiving. I mean, certainly one of the things that he did to me years ago is I prayed with a lady who had, what was her disease, Lord? Fibromyalgia, as a matter of fact. Can't remember her name right now. I went and prayed with her and her husband early in the morning. This was at another church over in Greensboro. And she knelt down, and that dear sister, all she could do, hey, that's that rabbit trail, stop. Anybody need a dog? I had a dog wander up in the freezing cold this week. What made me think of him, you're saying, this guy's nuts. Grandsons already do that to me, okay? What made me think of him is I'm sure he's got to be 12 to 15 years old. I'll feed him. I've been feeding him. We went and got dog food and all that. But he needs a good home. And he's real feeble. And I think he's about half blind and he can't hear. Kind of reminds me of myself at times. But that's what my wife said anyhow. But if you want one, if not, I'll keep him for a few days. I can't keep him forever. But if you'd like to have him, I've already named him Max. Okay? And he's got a good old gray beard. He doesn't seem to be aggressive at all. But you can come see me about Max later on, okay? I remember this dear lady as she knelt down. She could hardly kneel down. And then all of a sudden, as she got her body in position to pray, her husband's name was Andy. Her name will come to me probably at 3 o'clock this afternoon. But as she began to cry out before the Lord, it was amazing to me that the Lord had given her such a sweet heart of just thanksgiving. She didn't get in here with all these grandois, these and thous and whatevers. She just said, Lord, I want to thank you for the beautiful blue sky I saw yesterday. And I want to thank you for those clouds. I want to thank you for the birds I heard chirp. She began to give such simple thanks. By the time she got through praying, I just was there melted. She was so filled with him that she had learned to see him in everything and give him praise. And, you know, I left that day, and it's changed my prayer life. And that was 30 years ago. There are times now that I pray, Lord, I thank you for the ability to see. I thank you for the ability to hear. Yeah, I said it last week. You were turning pages. I can hear it. You don't know what that's like until you can't. Thank you, Lord, for the ability to smell, even to taste, to touch, even feel. You know what? I thank the Lord for you guys. I'll say this about relationships. If you hadn't figured it out yet, if you want a real one, you got to risk. You have to risk your heart. Because if you really want a real relationship, it won't be surface. People are going to hurt you. But I'll say this to you. It's worth the hurt if you really want to know God's people. And I'll say that about the Lord. If you want a real relationship with the Lord, you got to let it go. Let him do whatever he chooses to do with your world. Whenever, however, whatever. Then you're just free. Lord, I want to thank you. I could sit here this morning and start going down the Thanksgiving tree. We'd be here till Awanas tonight. We're not. I'll just say this. Give thanks always. And for everything. And for everything. To God the Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Come, ye thankful people, come. Come, ye thankful people come. I want to end with two things. First of all, for those of you that were here when Pastor Paul Baker was here, I just saw him back there this morning. Him and his dear wife are back there with us this morning. Brother Paul, y'all raise your hand. It's good to see you. We welcome you and we love you this morning. We're thankful for you and your dear wife. Had a good time with y'all last week. But let's also take time this morning. And I'm going to end with this. Sentence, thanksgiving. Now, what does that mean? Well, for those that have been here when we've done sentence praise, what it is that we'll just be obedient to the Lord. And you got to understand, here's how it's got to flow. We'll be obedient to the Lord, and one by one, decently in order, you just say, Lord, I want to thank you for, as He prompts you. I don't need you to do a 15-minute dissertation, which we all could do. But when I, you know, if you just share one thing, Lord, I want to thank you for it. Lord, I want, and it'll go around the church. When I sense you guys are finished, I'll close this part. And then we have Sister, you going to come with us this morning, Jennifer? Huh? I don't mean right now. I don't want you up here right this second. She's wanting to join our church this morning. And so, that's mean. You was picking on me. She's going to be coming at the end of this prayer time. And let's just be obedient to the Lord. Can we do that? Can y'all do that? Just be decently in order before the Lord. Just obey Him as we just give Him thanks this morning. And let's bow our heads together and who will be first. Father, we thank you this morning that you have been here with us. Your word says where two or more are gathered, you are here. We also thank you that you inhabit our praise. We thank you this morning, Father, that we need none other but you. We bless your name this morning. We thank you for the gift of your Son. We thank you for the gift of the Holy Spirit. We thank you for this treasure chest called the Word of God. We thank you for a church that still believes in salvation by grace through faith, that still believes in the security of the believer, that still believes in the authority of the Word of God, that still believes in the power of prayer. We thank you for the gift of church family, Christian family, not just locally but globally, for the many that make up this body of believers that will one day stand and sing before your throne glorious praise to your holy name. Until that day, though, Lord, may our hearts be filled with the Spirit of God, the Word of God. May we be permeated by loving adoration and devotion of you. Inwardly, may we sing. Outwardly, God, may we praise. And then, Lord willing, next week, may we surrender. Bless my brothers and sisters today. And as Jennifer comes this morning, perhaps there are others that are praying. May you use this time to continue, God, to reveal to all who are here what we're here to do. And that's to point as many as we can and take as many with us to the presence of our God. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen. Miss Jennifer, you come on. And she's already said, don't make me talk or sing or whatever, that stuff. She does do that. She's a sweetheart. Well, so much for not singing and not talking. Amen. This is Jennifer Schaffner. And all I can say is I told her, I met with her again Friday and or Thursday. And she just filled in some of the gaps of her testimony. She's not going to give it all this morning. But you need to hear it when you get a chance. It'll bless your socks off. But she's only here, like I think some of us are, by the grace of God, aren't we, Sissy? Because we could have both been, she was about killed when she was 21.
In a car accident.
And the same drill that killed my brother 2 weeks earlier, or 2 weeks afterwards, shocked me severely. And I don't know why it didn't take me. So we're here only by His grace, Sissy. She has been through our membership 101 class. She has given clear testimony of her saving faith. And we're going to welcome her here in just a moment. But I'm going to give her a chance to say anything she wants to, okay? Okay, so I'm going to give you a chance to say something if you'd like.
Can you just hold the mic?
I'll hold the mic, okay?
Okay.
Well, I'm just glad to be here, and I just thank the Lord for saving me, for Jesus dying on the cross for my sin. And as Pastor Bruce said, I was in a car accident when I was 21. And I actually did die, and they brought me back. So I've had a lot of hard roads from that day on, and has continued with a lot of pain that I have still, chronic pain. So anyway, it's been a dark road, and I went to church when I was young, but I didn't know the Lord. I didn't know him as my personal Savior. And even though I grew up, I thought I was saved when I was baptized, sprinkled. I thought I was saved because of my good works and my good deeds. But that's not what makes you a Christian.
Amen, Sissy.
And I didn't know that. So 15 years ago, my mother passed away within 6 weeks of cancer. It's probably one of the hardest days of my life. And it was after that, I was in such deep grief that it was just all darkness. That's all I remember. So I had a cousin that invited me to Brookwood Baptist Church. And I went there. And the music, hearing Pastor Baldwin, probably some of y'all know him. He just kept preaching, and Mark Stewart and all of them. And I just kept sitting, and I couldn't wait to get to church. I was so excited. I thought, well, what are they going to talk about today? I never felt that way before. So anyway, I was just sitting there on one Sunday, and we've been through the scriptures, and I don't know what happened, just the Holy Spirit. Didn't know that then. But a bell went off in my head. It was just like I was reading the scripture. And I thought, man, why didn't I know this? Where have I been?
Amen.
That the Lord has woken me
Amen.
Up. And I can't tell you the exact day that I was saved because it wasn't like that. I'm always different. Mm-hmm. Not like anybody else. But anyway, it was like, I don't know, it was like a progression. My heart just kept getting softer and drawing closer to the Lord. And that's all I knew that made me feel better and that comforted me, you know, after I lost my mother. I also moved here from Raleigh to Burlington. This was right after my mother died. And after that, I left my friends. And it was just a lot of losses within that period of time. But it was just through the Lord. That I knew my heart was different. I didn't want to do the things I used to do. And I didn't want to sin or any of that type of thing. I just wanted to know more about the Lord. And I couldn't wait to go out and tell everybody about Jesus Christ and what he did for me. So I praise the Lord today. I thank him for dying on the cross for me. And I pray if there's anybody out here today that doesn't know the Lord, oh, please come. Because I'm going to tell you, I'm still going through some challenging times. I'm a caretaker for my dad at this point. It's been very, very challenging. And I know a lot of people out here are being caretakers. It's a different role. And
yes.
Some of you know my dad, and they know he can be hard-headed. And I know Roger knows that. So anyway, it's difficult. It's challenging. But I feel the Lord walking with me, and I'm growing. And since I've been here, I can say all of these ladies and everybody here welcomed me from the day that I came. And I thank the Lord for y'all. I thank you for praying for me. And just keep praying. And I want to continue to be a witness for the Lord for my family. I have some family members that are not saved. That makes it hard, too. So who would have known two Jehovah's Witnesses would have come in at my dad's house the other week? And I witnessed before all of them.
Amen.
And
Amen.
Told him my testimony.
Amen.
That, you know, if you don't accept the Lord as your Savior and that Jesus died on the cross for our sins, that we will go to hell. It will happen. And I just gave my testimony. First time I've given it in front of my dad and front of two Jehovah's Witness ladies.
Amen.
So They said they'd be back. I don't know. I don't know.
I doubt it.
I wasn't
not
sure.
If they see your car.
I wasn't sure. So anyway, I mean, I would have never dreamed that the Lord would have used that. Who knows how the Lord's going to bring people, and that would not have been the way I would have thought of a testimony. Never. So I had to chuckle on the way home. That was not my plan, but that was his plan. We never know what his plan is. And I just remember the song we sang the other week. We will remember. And I was in deep grief, and I still am, having a tough time. And I've never heard that song before, but I will remember how God saved me and how he came to me and how he continues to come to me each and every day. And I thank you for his saving grace. I thank you for all that he has done for me. And I'm thankful I'm here.
Amen. We're glad to have you.
And this church family. Looking forward to what the Lord will do on the journey ahead. So if y'all will all pray for me, I appreciate it. If I'm not here,
I was going to tell them that.
Okay.
Hey, you go ahead. You're doing good.
It's not because I don't want to be here to serve. I physically want to serve the Lord. I would love to just clean the church. That would be fine with me. But I'm not able. I've had a lot of physical pain. And compounded now, we're staying with my dad. Pretty much 24/7, and it zaps a lot of my energy. So if I'm not here, not because my heart's not here, but I can continue to pray for what's going on in the church and for the people, and whatever the Lord leads me to do.
That's one thing that we've noticed is that she is a prayer intercessor. From the very moment she entered the doors here, she came to our Thursday morning Bible study. I think it's the first time you got injected in here and got connected, but you need a prayer. You need somebody to grab the horns of the altar with you. Here she is, okay? Sister, praise the Lord. You did good. I knew you could talk.
It was all the Lord.
I knew that. I believe it's coming this direction is what it is. They're just tidal waving you with all that.
Pastor Dog Pig, my cousin.
Yeah, amen.
Michael.
Amen.
Yesterday.
I forgot that. That's right. Brother Don, how many of you know Don Pig? Yes, yeah, several of them. See? Yeah.
His
it's a good brother.
So we had a long talk yesterday. Wanted to come and hear my testimony, but he had to preach.
That's typical Independent Baptist. He went to his church for nothing. Please tell him I said that, okay? Amen. It is great to have you come and join with us. Do I hear a motion to receive her in fellowship? Second. All in favor, raise your hands. Do like this. The rest of them, you need to see them after the service, okay? Let's all stand. What we're going to do, now remember, we're going to be moving this stuff as well eventually, so let's do it this way if we can. I'll tell you what, let's do it this way this time. Come this direction here. That way, as you make your way out, this group over here will be able to move the chairs, okay? Thank you for being here this morning. Praise the Lord. I'm going to ask John. John's ready to roll. Brother, how about dismissing us in prayer? Got you. Thank you, brother.